Well, our challenge ministry is with your congregation on this Friday. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, hopefully looking at verses 1 through 4. I've entitled this, Expressions of Mercy in the Life of Jesus, the Leper. The Leper. You know, Spurgeon made a comment in his writings that I found. Quote, the same sun which melts wax hardens clay, and the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sins. End of quote. Our Father and our God, how do we say thank you? How do we really, truly embrace all that you've done? How can we really express our gratitude, our thanksgiving, for having saved our souls, forgiven the sins of our past, assured us of a wonderful, wonderful future in the kingdom of God, entrance into heaven when we die? How do we ever say thank you? And I think really the only way we could really try to thank you is in submission and surrendering to your lordship in our lives, Jesus, to simply obey you, to honor you. Your word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Father, I'm praying today that you will anoint each of us to better understand who we are in Christ Jesus, to better understand all that Christ accomplished on the cross, in his death, in his resurrection. And Father, today, there may be someone involved in this time together that is religious, but lost. They may be involved in religious activity, but never having been born again. So I'm going to ask you to do two things, Father. I'm going to ask you to use this message, number one, to encourage your people. Strengthen them, encourage them. Use the truth in this message to encourage those who have already been born again, adopted into the family of God. And then, Father, there are those who are involved in religious activity, but have never been born again. I'm going to ask you to quicken them. Speak to the heart. Help them to understand that it's just a simple matter of confessing themselves to be sinners, coming before your throne, confessing their sinners, and asking in childlike faith for Christ Jesus to come in their heart, be the Lord, and be their Savior. And Father, for those in public office beginning in the White House, Father, everybody in public office is either a child of yours or a child of Satan. And as such, they will either pursue the kingdom of God, try to advance the kingdom of God, and try to please you, or they will be trying to advance the kingdom of darkness. They are answerable to Satan. They're in Satan's family, having never been born again. And Father, so many are religious, involved in religious activity, involved in religious relationships, involved in religious activity, but never born again. And I pray that somehow, in some way, you'll take some of the truth in this message and encourage and strengthen those who are born again, and perhaps bring to a saving knowledge those who are not yet born again, and bring them into a saving knowledge of yourself, adopted into your family, made a citizen of the kingdom of God. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen and Amen. This message that I'm about to teach, I look at this quote from Charles Spurgeon. Once again, the same sun which melts wax hardens clay, and the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sins. Unquote. I trust that if you're born again, that today's message will strengthen you, encourage you, and yes, equip you in the kingdom of God. And if you're not born again, maybe religious, maybe involved in all kinds of religious activity, but never born again, take a lesson from the lesson today. We're going to look at the leper who came to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And before I get into it, let me say this. I don't know what you're facing in life, but I dare say that a preponderance of the people involved in this time together today are facing one or more issues in life that concern them. I don't know what you are facing in life, but I know someone who does know what you're facing. Jesus knows. Christ Jesus knows all the ins and outs, the ups and downs of your life. He understands what you don't understand. He understands why you're coming through what you're coming through. And for some of you, it's just simply a matter, as I've been telling you for recent months, for some of you, it's a simple matter of bringing you from one level of spiritual life to the next level of spiritual life, and you must keep this in mind. I keep telling you this. It's growth. It's Christian growth. You came into, once again, you came into the family of God as a spiritual infant. Now you've got to grow into a spiritual maturity, and it's just like growing up in the natural. You come through stages of growth. Don't give up on yourself. I keep telling you that. Don't give up on yourself, because God's not going to give up on you. But understand this. Jesus knows what you're facing. Not only does he know what you are facing, he knows why you're facing what you're facing. Perhaps you brought it on yourself through disobedience, through unbelief. Perhaps you opened the door yourself to bring on you what is now influencing and affecting you. So once again, I don't know what you're facing, but he knows. He knows exactly what you're facing. And you must understand this. You've been born again. He's approachable. He is approachable. Now, if you have not been born again, he is still approachable, but at a different level. If you have not been born again, yes, I know. Many of you involved in church and you're involved in Christian activities, but you've never been born again. You're not a new creation in Christ. Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have not been adopted into the family of God. You may be living up to all the criteria and all the standards of that religion with which you've identified yourself, but you're not yet adopted into the family of God. You have not become a new creation. So once you understand this, as a sinner, you can approach Jesus Christ. You can go before the throne of God saying, Father God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. And I want to be born again. I want you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to become that new creation in Christ Jesus that only you can make me. So some of you need to approach him that way. Others, though, you've already been born again. You're adopted into the family of God. You have access to the throne of God. He invites you to come boldly to his throne with whatever it may be that you're facing. Let me say that again. He wants to be more than just someone that you face with your problems. You take your problems to him. No, he wants to be more than that. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of your eternal destiny. The Bible is full of people who approached Jesus when he was walking this earth. The Bible is full of people who who approached Jesus and received what only he could provide. Only he could provide what they went to him seeking. And he did. In so many instances, he provided exactly what they needed. He was the only one that could provide exactly what they needed. And may I suggest to you today, really, he's the only one that can provide what you need. He's the only one that can provide what I need. He, Christ Jesus, is the only one that can provide exactly what we need. And not only that, he knows what we need before we ask him. He knows what we need before we present our needs to him. And the greatest need that anyone has is firstly to be born again, adopted into the family of God with throne rights. I keep telling you this. Once you are born again, you have throne rights. You have the right to go to the throne of God with all your petitions, prayers, problems, whatever it may be. You have access to the throne of God. The power that created this universe, that put everything in place, and that is watching over that which he created day after day after day. In this time together, let's approach the Word of God and look at the way that leper, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. We're only looking at four verses in this particular section and this particular expression of ministry. But he's a leper, and he's going to come to Jesus for help. I don't know what your need is today, but you know, this leper realized there's no one else in the universe can help me. There's no one else in the universe that can help me. There is not a medical protocol that can heal my leprosy. None. If there's any hope to be had for me, he said to himself, no doubt. He recognized that. If there's any hope to be had for me, I've got to get to this man called Jesus. I've heard some say that he is the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior. He has power. I'm understood that he has power to heal the sick, to turn water to wine. I understand he has the power to raise the dead. I've heard so much about him. I've got to get to him, and somehow I'm going to have to ask him to do for me what no one else can do, what the medical practice cannot do. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? The Word of God says she spent everything she had seeking relief from the medical community and was no better. I have no doubt, had there been someone in the medical community to which this leper would have gone, he would have been there long ago. There was no one. There was no one. Do you realize today, in this our day, in your day, in my day, Jesus is the healer. He may use procedures. He may use doctors. I'll get into that later. But he's the healer. Without him, no healing takes place. So, he's been up on the mountain teaching. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. They had followed him up mountain. They had sat while he was teaching. They had listened to everything he taught when he was through. Matter of fact, you look at Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 and get some idea of what he was teaching. And the crowd that was there was a multitude there, a multitude of people listening to him teach. But now he's come down from the mountain on which he was teaching. And if you go back to Matthew chapters 5 through 7 and look at what he taught, you would be well to do that. You would do well to read what he taught that time and that time in his life before he came down off the mountain. Multitudes, absolute multitudes, had attended his teaching on the mountain, and the same multitude follows him down off the mountain. When he got through teaching, He stood up. He started leaving the mountain. And that multitude of people followed him. So he comes down off the mountain. And that's where he's approached by the leper. This leper, we have no idea how he contracted his leprosy. We have no idea how long he has been a leper. But he is a leper. And the leper had obviously seen Jesus in action. He's either seen Jesus. He has either seen Jesus in action or he's heard about Jesus. It's got to be one or the other. Perhaps some who had seen Jesus do miraculous healings had said to him, if you could get to Jesus, he could heal you. Perhaps there were those who had witnessed the healing ministry of Jesus. Have you? Have you ever experienced or been aware of the healing ministry of Jesus? I have. I've been there. I've received it. I've seen it happen. I've seen him do it. I have seen Jesus heal. I have seen Jesus heal when the doctor said the man would be dead before morning. But he wasn't dead before morning because we prayed for him. And we asked Jesus to touch Jesse. We asked Jesus to heal him and restore him to the fellowship. And later that day, after we had left, going to do a prayer retreat, they came in and disconnected. He was in the intensive care. They came in and disconnected all the equipment they had attached to him to keep him from dying. Well, God had touched him. So they removed all the attached equipment, took him to another room, and in 2 weeks he was standing back in church again. I have seen the power of God move. I have seen God move. I've had God move in my own life. As a matter of fact, what he brought me through in spiritual healing, emotional healing, and all of us could say the same thing because we came into the kingdom of God as sinners. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were the children of Satan. And God in his love and God in his mercy and God in his grace sent his son Jesus. And then sent his Holy Spirit to convict us, convince us, and illumine us. And as the Holy Spirit convicted and convinced and illumined us, in childlike faith, we came to Jesus. And Jesus says, that's where you must come. Jesus says, except you become as little children, just trusting, believing, receiving. You see, a child will just come trusting. It's not until they've been abused. It's not until they have been, if you will, not only abused, but deceived and used and discouraged and disappointed, that change starts taking place. But this leper either had seen Jesus in action, or he had been told about the supernatural power of Jesus. And at some point, he decided to seek Jesus. I'm talking to people today. You've tried this and you've tried that to break this power, to break that power in your life, to overcome that habit or this habit in your life, and you haven't yet tried Jesus. And some of you are trying so hard to live up to the godly standard and you can't do it because you cannot do it unless you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And you will not be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God until you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And you will not be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God until you are born again. Religious activity won't get it done. Religious activity won't get it done. Belonging to some expression of religious activity won't get it done. No. You have to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. This leper, someone no doubt had told him about the supernatural powers of Jesus. And at some point in time, he said, I've got to get to Jesus. He made up his mind to seek Jesus. Where he come from, we don't know. How far he come, we don't know. How he found Jesus, we don't know. But he had decided, Listen to me. This leper had decided if there was any hope whatever for him, it had to be in Jesus the Christ. He come to that conclusion. I'm a leper. There's no help for me. If there is any help for me, whatever, it's going to have to come from Jesus Christ. I've got to find Jesus Christ. I've got to get to the Messiah. They say he's the Messiah. He says he's the Messiah. I have got to get to him. So, from wherever he was, he set out to find Jesus. I wonder where you are in life today. I wonder what your discouragement is. I wonder what your disappointment is. I wonder what your strongholds are in your life. I wonder what it is that you're battling day after day after day. Some addiction, some weakness, some emotional, spiritual weakness. And you have tried and tried and tried to conquer it, and you're no further up the road today than you were when you first started. It still has an iron grip. It's called a stronghold in the Scripture. It's called a stronghold. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one that can destroy a stronghold. Medication won't do it. Oh, they can give you pills for this and pills for that. It won't do it. It won't destroy a spiritual stronghold in the life. It may in some way give you some relief from some physical discomfort, but the stronghold is still there. The stronghold can only be destroyed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of the church really does not understand spiritual warfare praying, not only for themselves, but for the nation as well. I'm convinced that so much of the church think that's woo-woo kind of stuff, and they don't realize the reality of it. Why do you think Paul, writing in the book of Ephesians, said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. The girdle of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace. Taking up the shield of the faith. Taking up the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation. All of that. All of that's involved. That's not child's play. That is survival. In this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, that, my friend, is survival. Every day of the world, I'm not up very long in the morning before I'm on my knees, and I put on the whole armor of God, piece by piece by piece. I submit and I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just trying to give you some insight as to how real this is to me. I realize every day of the world, my life is in his hands. I realize every day of the world how needful I am of him, of his guidance, his direction, his anointing, his leadership, his protection, his provision. I know that. Without him, I am nothing, nor are you. Nor are you. I don't care how many degrees we may have or you may have. I don't care what the financial statement is. Until you come to Christ Jesus, you're a pauper. You're a pauper. You're a spiritual pauper, and because you're a spiritual pauper, nothing else really matters. Nothing else really matters outside of Jesus Christ. He is the beginning. He's the beginning and the end. And we have to submit and surrender to his lordship to come through this old sin, cursed, sin, darkened world with any measure of victory. And it's a spiritual walk. You go from this level to that level to that level to that level, about five different levels, I keep telling you. But so many stop at the infant level. This man says to himself, I've got to find Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. How many today, I wonder, listening to this, would say to themselves, with what I'm facing, with what I'm embracing, with what I'm suffering, I need to get to Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. He's the only one that has the solution. Only Christ Jesus has the solution to my marital problem. Only Christ has the solution to my physical problem, my emotional problems. Only Christ Jesus has the solution to my financial problems. Whatever my problem may be, Christ Jesus is the only source. He's the only source of relief. So he sets out from wherever he was. We don't know where he was. We don't know how far he traveled. We don't know how far this guy traveled to get to Jesus, but from wherever he was, he went out from wherever he was to find Jesus. And he found him. He found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he approached Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he approached Jesus with a statement of faith. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, he comes worshipping him and saying to him, Lord, 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 is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of your life? Lord of your family? Lord of who you are and what you are and all that you are? Is he Lord? This leper recognized in and of himself he was totally insufficient to his problem. He knew if there was any help for him, this side of death, it had to be Jesus. And I'm talking to people today. You're facing things. You've got the same situation. You are facing things today that if there's any hope whatever for you, this side of death is Jesus. Jesus. He's the only hope you can have. So the Word of God tells us the leper came and worshiped him, fell down on his knees and worshiped him. Now, we're not told what his expression of worship was. I said a moment ago, did he fall down on his knees? I'm assuming he did, because the way he approached Jesus. I can't prove that from the Scripture. I can't go to the Scripture and show you where it says he fell down on his knees. But when the Word of God says the leper came and worshiped him, how else would he worship him? How else would he worship him? In my mind, to worship Jesus in this instance, he fell down on his knees acknowledging Christ Jesus, acknowledging who Christ Jesus was, and acknowledging himself, the leper, for who he was and what he was. Who he was, what he was. Let me ask you this. Have you ever fell down on your knees in desperation? I've been there. Have you ever fell down on your knees in desperation? Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to face this situation. I don't know how to handle this situation. Jesus, Jesus, I need you. I need the enablement and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. I need guidance. I need direction. I need insight. I need wisdom. I need inner strength in the inner man. He fell down on his knees. I have no doubt. I have no, the Scripture doesn't say he fell down on his knees, but I have no doubt, based on the way he approached Jesus, that most likely he did fall down on his knees. He could have fallen on his face. I don't know. Is it just possible this man walked up to Jesus? Is it just possible this man walked up to Jesus and fell down at his feet, prostrate before him on the ground? Is it possible? Let me ask you this. What is your expression of worship of Jesus? Is your expression of worship of Jesus of three or four songs on Sunday morning and a short time with the Lord in the auditorium and then on your way to lunch? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Is it a personal, intimate relationship? What is your expression of worship of Jesus? Day by day. Folks, these are things I want you to consider. Because some of you are in situations, and you're in circumstances, and you're facing situations, and you're facing circumstances that you need a move of God. And I'm asking you, what is your approach? Do you approach him as a child of God and have him been born again? Or do you approach him as a religious person, just hoping that somehow he will take note of the fact that you're a religious person, even though you're not a member of his family, even though you've never been born again, not a member of his family? Are you approaching him just kind of hoping that he will take note of your religious activity, and when he takes note of your religious activity, respond to your request? How do you go before the throne of God? What is your expression, once again? What is your expression of worship of Jesus? Folks, I've been in church a while, and I've seen people sitting in church, looking at their watches, doing praise and worship, involved in this conversation, that conversation. I've been there. I've seen it. So many people walk into a church. And you don't have to go to church to get into the presence of God, but we're supposed to go to church, and we're told to go to church. We're told to attend church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But so many walk into the church on Sunday morning, whenever it is they go. They participate to some degree. They listen to some degree. But a couple of hours after they have left the church, could not tell you what it was all about if their life depended on it. Most of them, be surprised how many, could not even tell you what the text was, where he went in, where the preacher went in the text. Let me ask you this. Do you have an expression of worship of Jesus privately? Come on now. You as an individual, not corporately, not collectively, but you as an individual, what is your personal expression of worship of Jesus? How do you express yourself in worship of Jesus? Do you kneel before him? Do you lay on your face before him? Or do you perhaps sit in your chair with the Bible in your lap and just spend time quietly alone with him? Turn the TV off? Turn everything else off and just go before the throne of God, you one-on-one, you and him, expressing your love, your gratitude for his mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, his patience, his gentleness. Do you spend time thanking him for the prayers that he has answered, as well as the prayers that he did not answer, as well as the prayers he has yet to answer? Do you spend quality, quiet time alone with God the Father, with Christ the Son? Do you invite the Holy Spirit of God? Holy Spirit, enable me, empower me. Enable me and empower me to come before the throne of God, expressing my needs and expressing intercessory prayer. Do you ask the Holy Spirit for his guidance, his direction, his anointing, or do you just rush into his presence? Here I am, Lord. I'm doing my daily thing. You know, every day I come to you about this time of day, and I say this to you, and I say that to you, then I'm gone. Or do you take the time to slow down, recognizing that he is eternal God, that Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, having died for our sins, been resurrected from the dead, and holds our next heartbeat in his hand? How do you express yourself in worship of Jesus? You know, expressions of worship can manifest themselves in many ways. They really can. You can express yourself in worship in many, many ways. Firstly, there is the public expression of worship that sometimes we get involved in it in church, and sometimes we really don't. This is a reality. Sometimes while praise and worship is taking place, your mind is somewhere else. You may be voicing the words. You may be singing the words. You may be involved in the process, but you're only involved to some degree physically. You're not involved spiritually. But there is the public expression of worship, and I recommend it. So does the Word of God. We should be involved in public expressions of worship. But then there's the private expression of worship, isn't there? There's that private expression of worship when it's just me and God, you and God, no one else around, just us, alone with God, sharing our heart, sharing our burdens, sharing our wishes, sharing our needs, even sharing our wants. You can do that. Look, if you've been born again, the Lord God Almighty is your Heavenly Father. Granted, known unconfessed sin in the life will hinder your entrance into His presence. Known unconfessed sin in the life will hinder His answering your prayers. If I'm going to go into the presence of Holy God, I need to go in confessed up. At least go in confessing. I may not get all the victory over that thing which I'm confessing at the time, but I'm in the process. Sometimes, folks, victory is a process. There are some strongholds in the life that did not get built there overnight, nor do they get torn down overnight. And yet there are times, in my own life, one of the first strongholds I can recall having victory in a heartbeat was smoking. I joined the church. I had been out in the world, straight away from God, became the prodigal, went out to the world. But then I came home. And I got involved in church, and then they asked me to teach a Sunday school class. And I was teaching the Sunday school class, but after church was over, I couldn't wait to get to my car to get my cigarettes off the sun visor and light up. And I resisted that. I resented that. I didn't want that to continue. And one day my wife and I sitting on the steps where we lived, and I took my last drag off that Chesterfield King, and I flipped it, and I said, "Lord, if you'll take him, you can have him." I never smoked another cigarette. I forgot about him. Matter of fact, the next morning when I went to the offices where I was employed, I thought, "What is that stink in here?" Others were smoking, and I found it offensive. So you understand this. Please hear me carefully. Don't get discouraged and don't give up on yourself. Spiritual growth, He's going to eliminate and remove from your life through a process, conviction, whatever it may be, however He does it, but it's a process of your becoming increasingly more Christ-like. And in order for you to become increasingly more Christ-like, so much that's in the life right now that is not like Christ has got to come out of the life. Follow me? Don't give up. It's a process. It's a process. He will bring you through it. So we have the public expression of worship, but then as a child of God, you need a private expression of worship. When you spend time alone with God, not just submitting your prayer request, but in acknowledging who He is, all that He is, thanking Him for what He's done, thanking Him for what He's done for you. You need to spend quality time alone with Him privately, expressing your love, expressing your gratitude, seeking His face, as well as His hands. You see, these expressions of worship that I'm talking about may differ from individual to individual. We all have different expressions, but the key I'm making is there should be an in-depth expression of worship in the life. There should be. All these have this in common. I understand that the expressions of worship may differ from this individual to that individual, but they have this in common. Christ Jesus is the force and the focus of the worship. Not Mary. Mary was a sinner. She got saved by grace. Mary was a sinner. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Apostle Peter was a sinner. The Apostle John was a sinner. He says so.
Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a sinner. Regardless of what the Catholic Church teaches, she was a sinner because the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every priest, every preacher, every apostle, every prophet, every cardinal, every evangelist, every teacher, every last one of us have sinned. And we are sinning. The Word of God says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. That is why we acknowledge our sins. And you say, Bob, you keep talking about this. You keep talking about this. Don't you understand that I already said to the Lord, forgive me for my sins? Here again, which one? Have you ever taken the time to just list your sins before the Lord? What you recognize to be a sin? Yeah, I've done that. I did that before I attended Miss Bertha Smith's prayer retreat. I did that. And since then, I've tried to keep things up to speed. I don't always succeed, but I try. And the moment I realize I have sin, I'm going to confess that sin. You see, I need prayer power. You need prayer power. And we cannot have prayer power with unconfessed sin in our life. Christ Jesus, whatever the focus of your life is right now, Christ Jesus has to be the focus of your life. He has to be the primary one in your life. And that praying must not be limited to corporate expressions of prayer life in the church. That's not enough. You say, well, I pray when the people at church pray. Well, we can't limit our prayer life to the corporate expressions of prayer in the church. It should be the corporate expressions of prayer in the church should carry over into the one-on-one expression in the life of every believer. One-on-one. Just you and God. You and God the Father. You and Christ the Son. It should carry over. In our prayer life, there should be expressions of recognition, thanksgiving, expressions of love, how much we love Him, how much we want to love Him, asking Him, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to love Him the way we want to love Him. But our prayer life should include expressions, recognition of thanksgiving, of love, adoration. This leper said when he came to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But he comes worshiping. I have no doubt. Lord, recognition for who he was and all that he was. Do you do that? When he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He recognized his dependence upon the willingness of God. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, recognizing Jesus for who he was and all that he was, because his statement of faith, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I don't know, he's saying to Jesus. Basically, he's saying, I don't know if you will grant my request or not. I have no doubt you can. I have no doubt whatever you can grant my request. I don't know if you will grant my request or not, but I know that you can. You can pray that, can't you? Lord, here's my concern. Here's my request. I don't know if you're going to answer this or not. I know you can. I know you have the power. I know you have the authority. You say, wait a minute, Bob. I got some pretty big things out there that I'm concerned about. Pray big things. Internationally, nationally, locally, personally, pray big things. This man comes to Jesus saying, I don't know if you will grant my request or not. I have no doubt you can. That's what he's saying. I have no doubt you can. Let me ask you this. Do you approach Jesus with that same conviction? Do you? That if he is willing, he can? Do you approach him like this saying, I know that you have the power. I know that you have the authority. You can respond to my prayer request. You can answer this prayer if you will. If you're willing, regardless of whatever it is, if you are willing, This man says, you can make me clean. In other words, what's he saying? I have no doubt you can if you will. How's that for praying? I have no doubt you can if you will. Whether you will or not, I don't know. But I know this, you can. Whether or not you will, I don't know. I've come hoping that you will. Can't you do that? We can do that, can't we? We can go into the presence of Almighty God saying, I don't know if you're going to hear this prayer and answer this prayer, yes or no, but I can hope. I can ask. I can come to you hoping that you will answer this in your way, in your timing. I won't try to tell you how to answer it, and I will not try to tell you when to answer it, and I will not try to tell you where to answer it, but I come to you, not knowing if you will or not, I don't know, but I come hoping that you will. That's what this man did. He said, I come hoping that you will. Matthew 8:3, then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You see, Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus did the unthinkable. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. He was a leper. And he was not to be touched. He was not to touch others. But Jesus reached up, put out his hand, and touched him. I picked this up in a commentary on this. In the Bible, physical contact with a person with leprosy was prohibited because they were considered ritually unclean, meaning they were unfit to be in the presence of a holy God. And yet, Jesus was God in the flesh. And Jesus, as God in the flesh, touched this leper and healed him. Then and there, right then and there, Jesus said, I will, and reached out and touched him. And immediately he was healed. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I don't know how that affects you, but I can tell you this. It thrills me. It tickles me. It pleases me. Jesus, God in the flesh, reached out and touched this leper. Matthew 8:3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus touched him and spoke healing to him. Jesus both touched him and spoke healing to him, and the man's leprosy was instantly healed. What absolutely joy must have flooded that man's soul. To look down, the leprosy is gone. It's gone. I came here. I knelt down before you. I made a request. You have considered my request, answered my request, and my leprosy is gone. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My leprosy is gone. What is it in your life that you need to take to Jesus? Saying, you can help me if you will. I don't know if you will or not, but you can help me. I know that. You can help me if you will. Thankfulness. Filling his entire being. We come to the last verse, Matthew 8:4. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Offer that gift that you can afford as prescribed by Moses. Now you can find the law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 14, verses 10, 22, 30, 31. As one that had the means. You can research that for yourself. Here again is a quote from Spurgeon. The old law stood, and our Lord would have it honored while it lasted. Therefore, he healed leper. Therefore, the healed leper must go to the priest, present his offering, and get from the proper official a certificate of health. That was from Spurgeon. There's a lesson in this for all of us. Jesus is approachable. Firstly, for salvation. Secondly, for whatever need you may have, he's approachable. Jesus is approachable. As I said, firstly for salvation. Secondly, for whatever need you may have, he is approachable. And keep this in mind. The greatest need of all men is Jesus himself as Lord and Master of the life. And in that respect, he is Lord of all or not Lord at all. You see, in your life, he is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Which is it? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take this message which encouraged me, and I pray you'll use it to encourage others and help us all to better understand how approachable you are. How approachable you are with everything in life and how you hold the answer to every problem we face. And this I pray and ask in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. Amen. Well, let me take the time that's remaining and remind you of our contrite prayer this coming Sunday evening, September the 7th at 7 p.m. Go to our website, childlessministers.com. Click on Listen at the top of the page. Then drop down and click on 24/7 Streaming. At 10 minutes to 7, I'll start playing music softly while you prepare your heart to pray. Then at exactly 7 p.m., I'll announce the first item for prayer. Give you some 7 to 8 minutes to pray that item of prayer while I play music softly in the background. Then I will close that item of prayer with prayer, announce the next item for prayer, and in 50 minutes, we'll cover 5 major issues facing our nation today. Then we'll take the last 10 minutes of that 1 hour together, and we'll pray for you, your concerns, your burdens, and your problems. That is this coming Sunday evening, September the 7th. Again, thanks so much for joining us today here on Challenge. Until we have a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.